Hi, this is Glenn Coble, and this is On the Air, and we have a special guest this week, as I mentioned before. We have James Hamilton, who is the naturalist from Marion County, and we're going to ask him some questions about what's going on out there. And I've got to figure out which one is your microphone again. Ah, I found you very fast. All right. Well, maybe I didn't. Do that again.
Hello.
Yeah, there we go. Now, do it one more time. All right. It's number two.
Number two. Oh, there we go. Now I hear myself.
All right. Well, I hope everybody is happy. And you know what? I said this to James this morning before we even started. I said, we're going to get out of politics. We're not going to talk about politics. We're all tired, a little tired of talking about politics. I heard you. There are big applause out there, James. I'm sure people want to talk about something else. I do want to mention to people, before we get going too far, if you've got some tchotchkes to sell, we're going to do swap shop at 12:15. So get those ready. And if you want to call in and talk to James, not about your tchotchkes, you call me on that. James will be here for the next hour and 45 minutes, and he answers all sorts of stuff. You know, I don't try to stump people, but I've never stumped him, but I have stumped some other people with questions. You must be smarter than you look.
I guess.
All right. Let's start off right off the bat with anything new out at the trail.
Yeah, I got a few things. Okay. One of the big things that I've been announcing on our social media page is that we're going to be starting up our nature programs up again. So I'm really excited because I haven't done anything since March. Due to COVID. Uh-huh. So we'll have some guidelines and some restrictions. So it's going to be a little bit different than the years past. But one of the big differences is we're going to have to require a registration because I only allow so many people per program. I only can keep 10 or less. Well, I'm that 10th person, so I'm only allowed 9 other participants.
Well, I remember when I walked with you once, that's about what we had. So that works fine.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, it makes it a little nicer for the audience, I guess, because we get to monopolize your time.
That's true. That's true. Good way to put it.
So, and you also have, I noticed, a thing going on where you have a theme of the week. And I believe that's for the kids, is it not?
Oh, the kiddos at the park.
Yeah.
Yes, yes. We that was throughout this summer. We ended it.
Oh, you did end it.
Yeah, okay. At the beginning of the month.
How'd that go?
It went really well. I'll admit probably the first 2-3 weeks it was really popular. Then it kind of slowed down because in July that was when we were 90 degrees up to 100. With the heat index. So not many families were coming out and grabbing the activity package, but just as last week, we had our park board meeting, and I was just about to put up all the activity packets away, and they were all gone.
Huh.
So the families have been taking advantage of it. So,
good.
And I had a lot of from previous weeks before, so I was really blessed that kids were using the packets.
Well, do you think maybe you ought to have one more packet drop so that all the kids who can't go to school have something to do?
We could consider that.
We've got a caller. Let's go to the phone. Hi, caller. You're on the air. How can we help you?
Well, I hope you can.
Okay.
My son, my adult son, has seen a new insect.
Oh, okay.
We have looked it up on the internet and found that it's called a camel cricket or a cave cricket.
Okay.
Are you familiar with this insect?
No. That I'm not. Does it have a hump on the back? Is that why it's called a camel cricket?
True, it is.
Really?
Yes, not truly noticeable, but it is slightly rounded.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
It's an ugly little creature.
Oh, that's what we like to hear.
It's kind of like a cross between a roach and a cricket and a spider.
So is it real small?
No.
Oh. Okay, I'm scared.
I have seen on the internet, and everything on there is true. I understand that.
Yeah, right.
That they were doing some news reports in New York, and it is new to them. And it lives in damp, dark places.
Okay.
It can eat carrion, I believe it's called, when they eat the dead.
Yes, yep.
Huh.
It won't bite you.
Unless you're dead.
Right. But it's something you don't really want walking all over you.
Well,
okay.
He has seen two of them here in Marion.
Okay.
And I just hope that it doesn't become really prevalent.
I can tell by James's eyes he's ready to go out and look.
Yes, I do. Yeah. I want to find one. Where did you find it?
He has seen it. There's Wheeler Lakes Apartments off of 309.
Okay.
Outside.
Yeah. Well, kind of a prairie area. Isn't that kind of grassy?
No, up by the clubhouse, up around, no prairie.
Okay.
Maybe grass.
Okay.
But then 23 runs along there. But
okay.
The lady on the internet, she found them when she lifted the cover of her hot tub.
Oh, really?
Yucks.
Some dark, damp place.
That's why I don't have a hot tub.
Right. So, I just wanted to see if you knew anything about it. He hadn't seen before.
Okay. Yeah, I'm definitely going to have to look that up.
Listen next month on the fourth Thursday, and we'll know.
For a continuing report.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thank you. Have a good day.
Yes, thank you for your call.
Bye.
All right. You've got your homework for the next day.
I do.
That's kind of weird that you... You don't even, I mean, we stumped you.
You did. You got me. Oh, man, in entomology or study of insects, that's kind of my weak field, but it's really interesting, that I know we do have a lot of beetle species. That sounds what to me by her description is a form of beetle.
Okay.
But yeah, I'll definitely have to do some more information and look it up and see.
I don't think I'd want one crawling over me. I think she's right on that point. Woo.
Well, it's just like most other animals. I mean, you could probably put it on your hand, and as long as you're not disturbing it or what, it's probably not going to bother you. But as soon as you start poking it and making it a little angry, then it's going to fight
back. Well, you have a little critter with you.
I do.
Can we talk about him now, or would you rather wait?
No, we can talk about him. So,
we don't know it's him yet, right?
No. So what I brought with me today is a monarch caterpillar, but here soon it's actually going to be turning into a chrysalis. So a lot of you might be wondering, what is the difference between a chrysalis and a cocoon? So a cocoon is, primarily moths make cocoons, but sometimes butterflies will. But what it is they have to use outside material to make the encasement. Versus the chrysalis, it directly comes out of their body.
Okay.
Once they hatch out of their eggs, it will take them roughly about two and a half weeks to transform into the chrysalis. And then it'll take about another 2 weeks until it transforms into the butterfly.
And you said you can tell the sex basically when it becomes a butterfly.
Yeah, that's
some people can tell.
On the chrysalis stage, but for the butterfly stage, it's really, really easy to tell. When you see when the butterfly is fluttering around, when he's opening up his wings, you'll notice on the backside, there'll be these two large black dots for males, and those dots are glands.
Mm-hmm.
Females will not have those glands.
I won't say what I said off the air.
Yeah, that's
about
right. He's
kind of moving, or is that just because the table shook?
Well, that, and right now he's liquefying his body inside, and because that's what they do. So
gross, though.
They have a special chemical inside their body, and he's basically destroying his body inside and then turning into that chrysalis stage. And then as time will go on, it will reform itself and then transform into the butterfly.
Do they all get into that? It looks like a J shape.
Yes. Uh-huh. All of our caterpillars, moth and butterflies.
He is moving.
Yes, he is moving. So, he's probably pumping the fluids through his body. And, again, he's kind of dissolving from the inside out.
I'm feeling sorry for him.
it's part of nature. It's not killing him, but he's got to do his life cycle.
Yeah. Now, he's hanging by his feet, I guess.
Well, actually, he is hanging a little bit, but then as he's dissolving himself, he will actually make an adhesive glue spot, so he'll able to attach himself. In the wild, it would be underneath a leaf. But in this case, it's the top of my little canopy or my little cage.
That did annoy him.
It did. I've had him for about a week, and I know it's kind of hard to see, but if you look on my paper towel at the bottom, he's pooped a lot within the week I've had him.
they poop.
Oh, yeah, they
I
do.
I guess all animals have to That's get right. rid of waste.
Yeah. And they eat 2,700 times their own body weight.
Oh, well,
and
then he's got a lot of poop.
Yes, he's got a lot of poop. So for our caterpillars, they go through different molts, or actually what's called an instar. And so they go through about 5 to 6 stages, depending on what species of caterpillar you're looking at. But for monarchs, it's typically 5. And then once you get to the 5th instar, then it's doing this. You're looking right now. It's starting to change into the chrysalis stage. And right now, it will probably take, I would say, by the end of the day, early tomorrow, and it will be a fully formed chrysalis.
Now, what does it look like as a chrysalis?
So for
this
these
just looks like a caterpillar in a J form.
Yes. It will be green, and then they will have a cool, like, gold ring around the top. Scientists aren't really sure what the purpose of that gold ring. Some think it's camouflage. Some think it's to warn off predators.
Maybe it's a halo. They're really nice animals.
It could. And then you'll notice there will be 2 or 3 of these little dots on the chrysalis. And that's some of the ways some of the entomologists have said how you can tell boy or girl on the chrysalis is how big and how they're arranged. And you really have to pay attention to detail.
Well, we need to talk to him to make sure that we find out so that we can put up a banner that says it's a girl.
That's right. Well, when he transforms, I'll let you know.
Is he eating now? He wouldn't be eating.
No. He's done his job. I know it's kind of hard to see, but he ate about 3 leaves in a week.
I see the leaves.
So for caterpillars, they are specific to what's called a host plant. Now, some species are only in a particular species or a group of species of plants. For monarchs, it's the milkweeds.
Oh, yeah, I've heard that. Yeah. And milkweeds are kind of rare, aren't they?
Well, it depends on what species you're talking about. There's 13 different kinds of milkweeds in the state of Ohio, but the one that I have here, it's the common milkweed. So you can find it in a road ditch, a farmer's field, within its name. It's very, very common. Most people actually consider it more as a weed than a wildflower.
Well, when I was a kid, my father was given a little portion of land kind of as his payment as the minister of the church, and we always found milkweed in those
fields. Scott, you know,
fields.
There have always been rumors that Florence Harding murdered President Harding.
Yes, I have heard that.
Well, it's a bunch of bunk. I'm here to state without doubt Florence Harding did not murder President Harding. Now, Nan Britton. Jury's out.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM. Don't miss it.
GTG, BRB, OMW, be there in a few. You may think that these kinds of texts are fine because of their length, and you can easily send them at a stoplight. But no, answering one text can take your attention away from the road for 5 seconds. And traveling at 55 miles an hour, that's enough time to travel the length of a football field. Make good decisions. Don't text and drive.
Visit StopTextStopRex.org, a message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, Noise, and the Ad Council.
We're back. I'm sorry. As you know, I have the same problem that my buddy Charlie had. We go right through those stupid stop signs.
We got to keep tradition going.
Yeah, we do. Okay. Now, we were talking off the air about some things about this guy. You said he's the longest living insect?
Yes. So it takes 4 generations for these guys to complete the whole cycle from north to south and vice versa. So the one you're seeing right now, he is the 4th generation. So only the 4th generation are the ones that live the longest for 7 to 9 months. The other generations only live about 2 to 3 weeks.
Okay. So how do they turn into a butterfly if they only live 2 or 3 weeks? Or they don't?
Well, we'll see. So what will happen is once he transforms into a butterfly, he'll head down to Mexico.
That's what I'd do.
Yeah, since it's warmer there in the winter season.
Are they paying for his trip down?
Sure. There's actually 3 migration routes. If they're on the eastern coast of the United States, they go to southern Florida. If they're on the western coast of the U.S., it's southern California. And we're kind of in the middle ground migration.
So they're confused.
So they go to Mexico.
Oh, okay.
So then they'll overwinter there. And then once it starts to warm up, they'll actually start to head back up. But they will only make make it, once they go up north, they'll only make it to about Texas, Oklahoma, somewhere
yeah, they
like
won't
that.
Come up to the
and
winter.
Then they'll lay their eggs, and then the new generation begins.
Oh, okay.
And so as they keep traveling up, then they keep rotating the generation.
Okay, so this first generation may only go a few hundred
yeah.
miles
yes, yes.
north,
yeah.
and then they have to lay eggs
yeah.
again,
yep.
and then they keep going until yep. they get to this stage.
Yep, absolutely.
Cool. I feel sorry for him that he has to go in 7 months, but that's better than his cousins.
That's right. But yeah, it's just amazing that these guys are going to travel hundreds and thousands of miles, and then monarchs are even found up in Canada, so
oh.
they have a longer way to Mexico than they would here in Marion, Ohio.
Where'd you find him?
I found him at Marion Tallgrass Trail.
Did you?
Yeah.
Underneath a leaf somewhere?
Yes. Yep. I was just, I always like looking. When I always see chew marks, I just always look. And then luckily it was on Monday, and I said, well, hey, I'm on the radio this week.
Yeah.
So I said, I'll bring him in and
fantastic.
Show him.
And I wish you could see it, everybody. It's I guess, about an inch long. It looks like a caterpillar that's kind of rolling up.
Yeah.
And he's going to turn into a monarch butterfly.
He is.
Oh, and they're so beautiful. They really
oh,
are.
Oh, they are.
Are they the most prolific butterflies in the United States?
Yeah, I guess you could say, though. They're definitely like the poster child when
yeah.
it comes to butterflies, because in the education field, that's what we're taught.
Yeah.
When it comes to metamorphosis, it always seems like the monarchs are the yeah. prime example. And I actually have, unfortunately,
a past
a monarch butterfly that a lady gave to me that she found on her doorstep last year during the migration time.
Okay.
It
couldn't make it.
Didn't make it. So she thought that, you know, instead of throwing it away, she put in a little glass container,
yeah.
and she thought the naturalist could use it for education.
He's not quite as colorful as he was.
Yeah, he was early, but over time, yeah, he's kind of depleted. And then yeah. I've had kids open up the lid, so
yeah.
that I know that hasn't helped.
I'm sure it hasn't. Now, the monarch is... didn't they go through a rough period where they were dying off?
Well, I mean... their population, I mean, is doing okay, but it could be better. I mean, since the 80s, their population has decreased almost 90% for many reasons why. Habitat destruction. I mean, we're destroying their wintering grounds. They're, you know, we're converting, you know, prairie open land areas to development.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when we talked about last month, I know we were talking about insecticides.
Yeah.
And I know you don't apply insecticides,
nope.
but you say, you know, you have your neighbors that
yeah.
unfortunately they do. But that can transfer over. So there are a lot of human factors, I mean, that are affecting these guys.
Would I be more likely, because we don't use insecticides, but our neighbors do, would I be more likely to be able to find one of those on the back of one of our leaves?
Possibly,
okay.
Yeah.
I have a great friend, Brandy, and you know who I'm talking
yeah,
about. She
yeah.
used to be on one of the shows here, and she takes some fantastic pictures.
She does. They're beautiful.
I look at those every day and wonder, how in the world did she get that good at the photography? She's pretty good at a lot of things.
She is.
Anyway, so what are you going to do with this guy? When he gets through this stage, are you going to let him go?
Yes, absolutely. So once he transforms into the butterfly stage, and after his wings are dried off, we'll just let him go and let on his merry way.
Will he do it in that little cage? Will he be okay in there?
I mean, yeah.
Or will you let him out before he gets to the butterfly stage?
Well, no. If I let him out now,
he'll be eaten.
Yeah, he could be eaten. And plus, I don't really want to disturb him too much once he's in that chrysalis stage.
Yeah.
But once he hatches out of the chrysalis stage and into the butterfly stage, they'll pump their wings a lot because they're pumping blood throughout
mm-hmm.
the veins. And once they're kind of fluttering around a little bit, then you just let them go and let nature do its thing. So
it's hard to believe they have veins in those very thin wings.
I know, right?
Holy
very
cow.
Very small.
Yeah, must be. Well, have you named him yet?
No, I haven't. I should ask my son. He's the one that names everything.
Yeah, and then when he comes back north, you can find him and ask him how he's doing.
I could.
Oh, me. I love that. That's fantastic. Now, are there other butterflies that do similar stuff?
Yeah, there's some that will just migrate to southern United States. And then there's some, a lot of our moth species will just have actually transformed into their cocoon stage and actually will transform into a moth until next summer.
Well, now, are moths related to butterflies?
Yeah, they're closely related. I mean, there are some differences.
Yeah.
One of the big differences is their antennae or their antennas are fluffy or look feathery versus butterflies don't. They're more straw-like.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of our moth species, actually, once they transform into the moth or the adult stage, they don't eat. They don't have any functioning mouth parts. During that caterpillar stage, their goal is just to eat, and gain a lot of fat. And then once they transform, it's to breed, lay eggs, and die. So
it's hell.
It is.
That's nature. How can you live without eating? I don't know. I eat a bit too much. Oh, that's fantastic. Now, you found him out on the tall grass trail.
Yeah.
I assume they're everywhere in this area.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Especially around Big Island, you know, you can find quite a bit.
Yeah, a lot of prairie out that way.
Yes, tons of prairie.
Yeah, lots of milkweed. You know, a lot of people don't know what a milkweed looks like. It's kind of a pod that if you open it up, it's got all sorts of really pretty things that float around and fire up your allergies.
They can. But the milkweed gets its name because if you were to break the leaf, it does make a milky sap, which no, you cannot eat. They are toxic towards people, but wildlife such as monarchs, and there are other species of caterpillars and insects that do eat milkweeds as well.
I remember that was one of the first things my mother taught me about milkweed. Don't eat it.
Yeah, don't eat it.
Now, I ate an iris once, and you don't want to eat those either.
No, those are poisonous.
Gave me the worst heartburn I had ever had.
Oh, I bet.
I was probably, I don't know, 8 or 10.
Oh, wow.
And I really thought I was going to die. It was bad. Yeah. But they didn't take me to the hospital. He was a minister, and we didn't have any money, so and back then you had to have money to go to the hospital. Well, today you do too. Anyway, we won't get up. We're not getting on the politics, I promise that. Yesterday, I'm getting way off the subject here, but this is one of the questions my dog told me to ask you. Yesterday was National Dog Day.
That's right.
Do you allow dogs on the trail?
We sure do at all of our parks.
Do they have to have leashes on?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah. Okay. Well, my dog isn't going to go. It's too long a trail, and her legs are about 3 inches long, so she couldn't make it.
You know what's funny? A few years ago, I had there was a couple that came out, and they had this overweight border collie, and they were trying to get it exercise, but then they would let it only exercise for a little bit, and then they brought this cart, and they let it in the cart, and then they would drag it back.
I've thought about doing that. My wife and I are trying to, I'm trying to figure out what we'll do once we're able to camp again.
Yeah.
As far as getting around, it's kind of, you don't want to drive your car everywhere. So I was going to buy a bicycle, two bicycles.
Yeah.
And my wife said, well, what are we going to do about the dog? She can't run after us with those little tiny legs.
You can put a little cart in the
back. Yeah. They make carts for dogs.
Well, I see them for kids.
And kids.
But they use the kids one because they're bigger and then put their dogs.
Yeah.
Oh, I see that all the time at Tallgrass.
I may do that. We may do that. We were also thinking about buying a canoe. Now, I'm not sure how I can keep my dog safe in a canoe, but
put a life jacket.
Yeah, they do have life jackets for dogs. I noticed that. You are a very smart naturalist.
I try to be.
Well, I'm kind of at a loss right now. I have a lot of things that I thought about last night, and they're all blanked out of my head. Do you have anything else you can shoot us with? Right?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, and we've got only about 4 minutes.
Oh, we got 4 minutes. All right. You can, as of right now, you can raise a monarch in your own house.
Oh.
If you have a little special container like I brought with me today. And like we talked about, there are about 13 different kinds of milkweed. So common milkweed, like we talked about before, is the most common. But be careful. If you do use another milkweed, that's fine, another species. But you can't just give another species and say, all right, you got to start eating this. If it's already used to eating one particular kind of milkweed. You have to find that particular species. Yeah.
So it'd be helpful if you know where you found it.
Yes.
And then look for milkweed near there.
Yes,
right?
Yes.
Okay.
Absolutely.
And then what do they, once they open their wings, can they fly around your house?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
I wonder if there are people that have lots of butterflies that fly around their house. Now, they're only going to get, at maximum, 7 months out of them. So I cry when I think about squirrels dying in 3 or 4 years. I don't know what in the world I would do if my pet died in 7 months.
Well, be grateful, because like mayflies, a lot of times once they change, they only live a day.
You know, we used to have mayflies up in northern Michigan.
Oh, yeah. They're everywhere
and,
up there.
And we were in north of Petoskey. And every year, the mayflies would hit at the same time.
Yep, yep.
And you couldn't go outside with... If you did go outside... You had to wear glasses so that the bugs wouldn't hit you in the eyes, yeah. And you had to keep your mouth shut, or you would ingest one or two.
Yeah, Lake Erie like that too. Yeah.
It's the swarms, and it was good that we had bats, and I don't like bats, but it was good that we had them, because it either scared them away or it ate them. I don't know which it did.
It ate them.
Yeah. It did eat them. All right, now my next question. I'm going to wait for the next segment to ask this next question.
Okay.
But I'll get you started on it.
All right.
I've been told that next year is the year of the 17-year locust. Is that correct?
In some areas, yes.
Is that right? Well, I've been told in this area that. And then I looked it all up, and 17-year locusts are 17 years, like you said, in one area. And if you go to another area, they don't even know what you're talking about.
Yes.
And so
some are 13 years and some are 17 years.
Yeah, that's kind of weird. But anyway, we won't get into that too much. I'm going to ask you about this because they're kind of ugly critters, and I would like to find out more. I'd like to find out how to stay away from them. Now, what type of things... Animals right now are out on the trail that you see a lot now. I assume you have some garter snakes.
Oh, yeah. I was just going to mention that as it's getting cooler, the snakes are going to use the trail more.
To warm up.
Yep. Yeah, we see a lot of pictures of garter snakes and brown snakes.
That's why I knew that, because I've seen your pictures.
Turtles. I've seen some turtles now on the trail.
Okay, because they're reptiles.
Yes.
They do the same thing,
yes,
right?
Yes, absolutely. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. Okay, and blue heron. I was out there, and I was shocked how big it was.
Yeah,
it was in that ditch, or I don't know, it might be a little creek that runs across about...
Are you talking about right there on Holland Road?
About the half-mile point.
Oh, the half-mile point.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. That's just a ditch that they help control with flooding.
Well, okay. Well, I saw one there, and I was shocked how big it was.
Yeah, they get about 3 to 4 feet tall.
Yeah, when you're a long way away, you think, well, that's a nice bird. But
Ted, I remember so well when you announced you were going to run for president on my show.
I do, too. But after a while, I decided to get out of the race.
Why was that?
Well, I didn't want to move to a bad neighborhood.
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
Hey, we're back again, and naturally, I ran right through the stop sign. But we're here, and let's see if I can get my mic to quit crackling. Tell me a little bit more about the blue heron. Now, you said they're 3 to 4 feet tall.
Yeah, tall. They're our most common heron species in the state of Ohio. You typically find them around creeks, streams, ponds, wetland areas. Now, they do typically stay for the winter time, but they typically move to river settings because most of the times rivers do not overfreeze because mm-hmm. they're continuously running.
Yeah.
And herons, I mean, their primary diet is fish, but they will eat from snakes to small mammals, small birds, anything
really?
They can get their beaks on, they will eat.
So don't let him get his beak on you.
Yeah, if you were small, yeah.
Would... Are they aggressive if you get close to them?
Oh, yeah, especially around their nests. Now, they're usually really on top of sycamore trees, oak trees, and their poop is so acidic from eating fish that they actually burn some of the branches off. So you always can. And they're in giant groups, or which are called rookeries. So they have about...
I only saw one.
Usually about 10 or 12 families, all usually in one tree.
Okay. So. Oh, they're all in one tree.
Yeah, during the nesting season.
He was probably down having lunch.
Yes, yeah. Yes, absolutely. There's a cool Facebook video, and I don't know who put it on, but it must have been out west because it was a gopher. But this heron landed in this person's yard, and there was no water, no nothing. It was just an open, bare yard, and he's just standing really still. Next thing you know, he just... jabs his beak down and he grabs his gopher and then he swallows it whole.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm not going to watch that. My wife and I love nature, but as soon as one animal starts to go after another, we turn it off. I know it's nature, but we don't want to see animals getting killed. And we're kind of that way. Now, you were talking, you know, another bird that is aggressive, and I think you've had him out on the lake, is white swan.
Oh, the trumpeters?
Trumpeter swan, yeah.
Oh, trumpeters aren't too aggressive. I mean, during the nesting season they will, but other than that, they're not very...
Well, we had them on our lake up in northern Michigan, and if you would row your boat out by them, they would come after you.
Let me ask you a question. Did it have an orange beak by any chance?
Yeah, I think they did.
Okay, so that's a different species.
Oh, is it?
That is called a mute swan, which is not native.
That's right. That's what they were called, mute swan. Yeah.
Yeah, they are not native to the United States.
They're not happy with people.
No, they were introduced from Europe because, you know, mute swans are represented the symbol of love in a lot of cultures. And a lot of your wedding venues that are next to lakes, I know, like down in Lake Logan, uh-huh. I don't know if you were never living down there, they had a lot of mute swans. And the problem is with mute swans is they can be invasive and they will outcompete against the native swans. Oh. And I don't know if you remember, it was about 4 or 5 years ago, the ODNR went and eradicated or killed off a lot of the mute swans at Lake Logan, and people were mad.
I bet they were, because they are a beautiful bird. Yeah. My goodness, they're beautiful. But you know, I don't know which one of the mute swans did this, but on the lake, and this was a long time ago, it actually knocked a guy out of a fishing boat and broke his arm.
Really?
Yeah, it attacked him. And it was at a time where they were having little baby swans with them. So I'm certain they were mad.
There's a similar story, and I don't know what year it was. I want to say it was in the 90s, early 2000s. But up in Chicago area, there was a mute swan, and a guy in his kayak got really close during the nesting time, and it had either eggs or its goslings. Mm-hmm. And so what happened was he got too close. The swan knocked him off of the canoe, and then he kept trying to come up, and the swan kept pecking his head, and the guy drowned.
Oh, my.
So they killed a guy.
Don't mess with him.
Yeah.
Well, this guy just broke his arm, and... I wasn't there at the time, but we heard the story. And if we'd go out on our pier and the swan were around, they'd come right at you.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, they're very aggressive, or very invasive, I should say, up in northern Ohio and Michigan.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, beautiful.
But, yeah, they can be very aggressive towards people.
Okay, let's go from beautiful to really ugly.
All right, sure.
Let's talk about the 17-year locusts or whatever.
Oh, yes.
Are they locusts or are they cicada?
They are cicadas.
Yeah, that's what I thought they were. But people do call them locusts, don't they? The swarm of the 17-year locusts.
I mean, that's another name for them, but locusts are more closely related to grasshoppers.
Oh, okay.
And then your cicadas, are different.
Well, the thing that's kind of cool about cicadas is they have those red nasty eyes.
Yeah. Now we do have two species of cicadas. We have the annual, which you'll hear right now, and they're green and they have dark brown eyes, black eyes.
Yeah.
And they'll hear that sound right now.
Oh, you do that well.
Oh, thank you.
I was trying to do that for my wife and I couldn't do that. Okay.
So it's just. It's just how to attract a mate. Like I've mentioned before, the louder you are, the luckier you are.
That kind of worked for me.
And that goes along with frogs, toads, birds. So,
really?
Yeah. So in nature.
Volume helps all of those
It does.
Species.
So if you've ever been called a loudmouth in nature, that's a compliment.
Well, I have a beautiful wife. I was She was a cheerleader. I was really lucky, so my loudmouth paid off.
There you go. There you go. But the other species you're talking about, yes, most of them are the 17-year-old or in some areas 13-year-old ones. And they're right now they're underneath the ground. They're in that nymph stage, and they stay in that nymph stage for over a decade.
So when you're digging, like when I'm digging for my garden, might I come across
them? You might come across some.
What do they look like?
So have you ever seen an annual cicada, the shell that they...
Yeah.
Okay, it's just like that.
Okay. No, so when I'm digging and I find one of those, put it back?
Put it back.
Yeah, okay.
So their problem is...
They don't look like grubs, though, right?
No.
Because I get a lot of grubs in my garden, too. Yeah.
So the 70-year-old cicadas, once they come out, they metamorphosize, and then, they're the ones that are really kind of a maroon color, mm-hmm. yellowish kind of wings, and the red eyes, as you mentioned. And they have a different sound. They go, wah, wah.
Oh, yeah.
And then...
You're going to have to teach me these calls.
And the problem is, you know, they're by the hundreds of thousands versus the annual cicadas, you know, is in lots smaller groups since they're out every year.
Yeah.
And the cool advantage about having so many of them is it actually abundance of wildlife, it actually helps out, like squirrels and chipmunks.
They eat them?
Yeah, they eat them. And then what causes, because they have so much protein, it causes their population to explode. For squirrels and all, so
I'm not sure I'm liking this. I've had squirrels eating my tomatoes, and that's making me mad. But that's interesting. I didn't know they would eat an insect. But
oh yeah.
Now, is there anything that we should be cautious about these? The 17-year-old?
No, they don't bite.
Do fly into you.
They
though.
Do. They do. Their mouthpiece is almost like a straw, and what they do is they suck sap out of trees.
Oh,
so
okay.
They can be a nuisance because usually right after that time frame, usually we'll see trees with broken limbs because the cicadas are absorbing all the nutrients out of the branch.
Now, with that, I noticed a lot of trees in my neighborhood are being cut down or seem to be not defoliated, but the foliage isn't as voluptuous as it used to be. Would that, because they're getting close to coming out, would that have anything to do with it?
No. Like right now, it'd probably just be the drought that we're kind of having. You know, it's just not raining as much. So the tree has to conserve energy.
Well, I have a tree out front of my house. It's been there for, I don't know, 70 years or something like that. It's very large. It makes the trees that we have on Euler Avenue make the avenue really quite pretty.
Okay.
But I'm concerned that I'm going to have it cut down because it doesn't have a whole lot of foliage. It has a lot of foliage on it, but the leaves are about an inch and a half long. They're not their normal 3 or 4 inches big, you know.
Hmm.
And somebody told me that it might have to do with the ash borer or something like that, this is not an ash tree.
Oh, okay.
So I can't imagine that.
Because usually, I mean, the ash borer, they'll kill the ash tree. Now, they are starting to notice that because the ash trees are depleting, ash borers are starting to focus on other species of trees.
Yeah. I'm going to have to find out. I'm going to have to get a naturalist out there. You know where my house is?
No, I don't. Is it a maple tree or is it a...
No. And I looked it up a long time ago, and I don't remember what it is. It's not a tree that's... There were several of them on Euler Avenue, but it's not a tree that you really know a lot about. But I'll have to re-look it up. You know, do you have an app on your phone that you can take a picture of something and it'll tell you what it is?
Yeah, iNaturalist.
What is it?
iNaturalist.
iNaturalist.
Yep, it's through National Geographic. It's a free app.
I'm going to have to get that because the one I got, you know, I can take a picture of a dandelion. It tells me it's an orchid.
Oh,
you know,
it's
just not very good.
No.
I'm going to have to... iNaturalist.
Yes, iNaturalist.
Okay.
So the letter I and then Naturalist.
Okay.
And it's a free app. I use it a lot.
And it's pretty accurate?
Yeah, for the most part, yeah.
Can you look... Now, the one I had when I found out what this tree is out in front of my house, I could take picture of the bark and it would tell me. Will iNaturalist do that?
For the most part, they are... My college professor in Hocking College tried it out, and he was making fun of how he couldn't recognize some tree species by his bark, but the leaves, it was pretty accurate.
Oh, okay.
Well, you could try it and see.
Can't hurt. It's free. Right?
Yeah, it's free. It's free.
I've already thrown away about a half dozen of these things because they kept telling me that dandelions were orchids.
Yeah, and that's the problem with some of these apps. They're like that.
Yeah. I need to go get my dog because she had all sorts of good questions that I was
supposed
to ask.
Maybe I'll have to have her take notes.
Yeah. Well, we're just about ready. We're running out of time, so I'm not going to go too far into this. But now, why is there a difference between a 13 and a 17-year locals?
Do they know? No, not really. It's just region.
Okay. All right. Now, they come out when? Fall, winter, spring?
Summer. Well, I guess you'd say late spring, early summer.
Okay. Well, now we've gone 2 months into summer. We're closing in on falls right around the corner.
Yeah.
Are there things that we should be aware of as we get closer to fall?
Yeah. A lot of animals are going to be very active. Deer.
Oh,
the deer's rut season, so when they're trying to get lucky, so they're going to be traveling on the roads. Good old Buckeye Chuck or groundhogs are going to be traveling a lot of, because they need to gain a lot of fat.
Yeah.
So you're going to have probably a lot of animals visiting your property, whether you want them there or not.
And be a little careful on the highway.
Yeah, yeah, definitely be careful on your
road. I haven't seen as many deer on the highway as I had
seen
in the past.
Oh, really? Oh, my area, I do.
Really? Okay. Oh, yeah. Must just be the air. Well, maybe I'm not traveling very much anymore since the COVID. Thank you very much. Saved me a lot of money on gas.
Oh, I bet.
Yeah. All right. Well, we got about one more minute and a half. Anything you want to tell us before we get on to the next hour?
A monarch, a monarch caterpillar.
Yeah,
or,
but it's chrysalis now.
It's going to be a chrysalis.
He's not doing much. He's just sitting there.
It's taking time. So yeah. I just checking up on him. So.
He's making the best of a bad situation.
Yes, he is.
Now I imagine a lot of them get eaten at this point, don't they?
Oh yeah, they have a lot of predators.
Yeah. Yeah, I would imagine.
But eating that milkweed once they transform into the butterfly will protect them because a lot of predators don't like eating the butterfly.
Oh, can they smell that? Or do
some species of predators can, but unfortunately some will taste one monarch butterfly and then
go on.
Say, oh, that tastes nasty, but then it saves the next one.
Oh, okay. Yeah, okay. I got you.
So someone's got to sacrifice.
Yeah, I guess. That's the way life is.
Yeah.
Well, this time I'm not going to miss it. We're about 30 seconds away from getting out of here. And we have James Anderson. He's the Marion County Naturalist. And he'll be on with us for another 45 minutes after we get through the break. And I hope you give us a call and ask him some questions. The number here is 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Come on back.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP, Marion, Ohio, the talking place. For people like the first female Secretary of State, Madeleine Albright.
If Donald Trump does get in, what kind of damage could he do? He's got to deal with Congress, the Senate, the Supreme Court. From somebody who's been there and dealing with foreign countries, if he's in there, what could there be a bad future?
I'm concerned about that. I have said that if he gets elected, it is a danger to the United States. The truth is, in many ways, just the kinds of things that he's saying during the campaign is a danger to the United States. The United States, for our national interest and the safety of our citizens, does have to be involved with other countries, needs to be respected by other countries, needs to respect other countries. And Donald Trump does not have the right temperament, the knowledge, or the capability of being president of the United States. I think I'm just stunned, frankly, that it has gotten this far.
To WCMH Channel 4 anchor Colleen Marshall.
That being said, you've covered many a presidential race in your career. Why do you think he walked away even before the question was finished?
You know, I can't explain that. And, I've actually been thinking about it because other people are asking questions and talking about it. And, of course, Trump supporters are very angry that I even brought up the racism question. But, you know, I didn't get to finish. Again, it was my I really wanted to give him the opportunity to wrestle critics. But I think I'm surprised that his people haven't prepared him more for questions like that when these issues are at the forefront of the election.
WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, streaming live on the internet at www.wwgh1071.com. Check us out on any mobile device by downloading the free TuneIn app and searching WWGH. Most show archives are available on the net. Programming on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM is supported by CRT Mechanicals. Address 2842 Marion Waldo Road. Telephone number 740-225-4495. Webpage crtmechanicals.com.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey everybody, it's Pastor Steve Whitaker from the Pastor Spot. We are on every Tuesday at 5:15 and replay again on Wednesday at 3:15. We take pertinent issues of the day going on and look at them in a biblical perspective. So we'd love to have you listen and just, you know, call in, just get a conversation going and have a great time on the show.
Pastor Steve Whitaker is the pastor at Community Christian Fellowship in Prospect, Ohio. Address 209 East Water Street. This is Scott Spears, high above Marion in the WWGH News Chopper. If you see news in Marion, please email us at scott@wwgh1071.com and keep an eye out for the WWGH News Chopper flying high overhead. We here at WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are proud to present Magnificent Marion Moments. Marion's First Lady of Dance, Martha Dowse, is a living legend who has been teaching dance since 1943. Always loving and giving, for 25 years Martha organized benefit dances, raising in excess of $90,000 for leukemia research in memory of Michael Rollins, an 8-year-old cancer victim from Marion. She has also served as secretary for Marion Midget Football for over 35 years.
When Mother Nature strikes, who do you turn to? The number one trusted weather team in Marion County, the Marion, Ohio Weather Team. Get the latest conditions and more on our website at weather43302.com.
Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, 12:10 to 2 p.m. Guests you won't want to miss, like Clarence B. Jones, advisor, confidant, attorney, and co-author of the I Have a Dream speech to Dr. Martin Luther King Jr.
And I cannot thank you enough for coming on to have this frank discussion, because a lot of people wouldn't have. And you came on short notice. Clarence Jones, a friend of this program, I hope you come back again.
Well, I came on short notice because, God, I admire your journalistic integrity. You asked for me questions. You respect my answers, even though you may not agree with all of them. At least you accord me the professional respect which... which goes along with your craft, and so your listeners are very fortunate to have a broadcaster of your abilities and your broadcast journalism integrity. So I'm always pleased to be in your program.
Tough but fair is what you always hope they say about a journalist. Tough but fair.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sir.
Now with Scott Spears, Monday through Thursday, 12:10 to 2 p.m. right here on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM.
This is Bill Macy, Walter, from the hit TV series Maud. WWGH107.1.com is where you find archives of WWGH Radio. Their radio programs dating back to January 2016 and a live stream of the station itself. Go there now, or God will get you for that.
And now a few words from Scott Spears, Charlie Evers, and the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams.
Ted, did you know Marion, Ohio is the popcorn capital of the world?
No, Scott, I didn't know that. Could you get me some?
I don't have any at the moment.
Some capital. Does anyone have a Chicken Places number?
WWGH Radio, 107.1 FM, The Talking Place.
Programs on WWGH Radio 107.1 FM are brought to you by Williams Grass Cutters. Telephone number 740-272-0062. Website williamsgrasscutters.com. Facebook page at Williams Grass Cutters. Email w.grasscutters@gmail.com.
Hi, I'm Ted Williams, the man with the golden voice, and Friday nights is something you don't want to miss. From 8:10 till 10 p.m. right here on WWGH, it's Friday Night Live, starring Scott Spears and Bailey Hunt. No topic is too big or too small. Why don't you call them at 740-383-9944. Streaming live at WWGH1071.com. Remember, Friday Night Live. Every Friday night from 8:10 till 10 p.m. right here on WWGH 107.1 FM.
This is Earl Fitzamerican. You're listening to WWGH 107.1 FM.